Hey Matt, how are you? What's on your mind?
Oh man,
Pizza's on.
how much time do you have? Well, I'm getting married in a week and a half, so I got a lot.
Yeah,
Wow.
Loving the time of COVID, Rob.
So are you getting married in a kind of a private service, or what are you doing?
Yeah, we had to go from 150 invitees to 15.
Yeah.
So there was some inherent stress there. But actually it's mostly just real intimate family, and so I think by downsizing it may even be better than it would have been before. So
There's
we're trying
trade-offs.
to focus on all the positives here
Yeah.
that 2020 has offered us.
I agree that there's a trade-off in this. You go, a lot of people have just, discovered they can do a lot more with less, and they don't need all the stuff, and it's been a kind of a nice time if you looked at it that way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There has been some usefulness to it.
Well, congratulations and best wishes to you and the
Thanks. I
missus.
appreciate it.
Hi, Keith.
How's everybody?
Good, good. How are
Good.
you?
I'm good. A little
Good.
wind blown today, but doing okay.
Are you having a storm or?
No, just beach wind.
That's good. That's good.
Beach wind on my COVID hair.
Are you in Ocean Isle or where are you?
I'm at Kiowa.
Kiowa, nice.
Gorgeous.
Lovely. So what's on your mind today?
Not a lot. Kyle will be joining us soon. He's tied up in another call, but he says he'll be done soon. So we met with Matt and Mary and their coworker, and we did a little more deep dive on the segmentation today. Feeling like we got a better handle on that. Now it's a matter of moving our first folks into that scheduler. So that's kind of where we're at. We're well behind, but going at a snail's pace here, but making progress.
That's it. If we end up by week 12, we're doing we got some clients in the scheduler. That's a win. I mean, that's a big deal. So, congratulations. That's great. Truly. Your peers are not doing that. So, you are. That means something. What else? How's the month? What's going on?
Month is you talking about production month, supernova month? What kind of month are you talking about?
We'll talk about
Beach
production,
month?
huh?
Okay. I mean, production, mostly fee-based, so that a lot of that's coming back nicely because asset values are up. I lost an account or soon to lose an account in the next few days here that is kind of the antithesis of what we're going through, and that somebody's been paying extra attention to them for 5 or 6 years, and I think the relationship got stronger on that side than with me, and I'm seeing assets go that relate to the very things you're preaching about. So
Well, that's, that our mission is to never lose a client ever under any circumstance except a death and, something else. But, maybe death and divorce. we talk about building a wall of competence around our practice so that we don't have that phone call. I mean, it's going to happen, but we certainly don't want it to happen. When we were losing one client for every one that we were bringing in, and the FAs would say, well, they're small clients, they don't matter. The reality was we were losing some big clients too. And that's when we kind of came to the conclusion that if we were going to lose clients, we might as well be in control of who it is that we lose. So would you rather make the choice be yours or the clients? Because if we have too many clients, we can't service them properly no matter what we say to ourselves. And so we made the conclusion that we could manage about 100 clients each effectively so that we wouldn't lose any. And if we got more than that, we couldn't. And then we would be subject to losing some of our best accounts. And so that's, and it isn't that hard. I mean, it's work and you have to be organized, but it's not that much work to the point where if you could protect your assets, what would that be worth to you? And so that's why we did it. And it's worked. It's worked for a lot of years now. But I don't like to hear that you're losing a client, but it is the risk that we take when we have too many and can't give them what they want, even though they don't tell us what they want. That's what we found, that they will never tell you what they want. They will expect you to know what they want. So we assume it's going to be 12-4-2. And if they want more than that, we give it to them. But everybody at least gets that much attention. And they can't complain then that they don't hear from us. And even if they cancel an appointment or we cancel an appointment, at least they know it's set up for 12-4-2. So it builds a, you know, we make a promise to them and we keep it. And that builds trust and that eliminates the risk of loss for that reason. I mean, they can leave because of performance. They can leave because of death, but they're not going to leave because we didn't take care of them. So, Kyle, you're back. You're on mute.
Sorry about that. We had an interesting call that spilled over a little bit, but I'm here.
Okay. Bring me up to date.
So we met with Matt and Mary and Brian earlier and went through some of the sorting tools. And after looking at it, if we call it 100 clients each, Keith and I, that only leaves 42 clients at the bottom. 75 each leaves 92. So I think sorting it helped a lot in terms of seeing where we're at. I think now it's just a matter of deciding where we're going to cut.
Yep.
Butter.
Well, what I recommend is going through the 200 clients and seeing if there's people in there that you don't have a strong relationship with that use you as a broker. You know, they've got you in a box and they buy things from you, but they don't take your advice. They haven't done a financial plan. They don't really listen to you. They're a customer, and this is a great time to meet with them. You know, even if it's very hard to meet with people, but at least you can do a conference call with them or a Zoom call with them and go through your new model and what you're doing and why you're doing it. And I mean, there's no better reason for why are we doing this than the fact that we really want to deliver a consistent client experience. And we just feel that if we have too many clients, we're not going to be able to consistently do that. So therefore, we have come up with a plan with our consultant, and this is the plan. Each and every client's going to get a multi-generational plan. We're going to get 12 contacts, 4 reviews of that plan, two of them in person, and we're going to provide you with rapid response to your problems, 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? And they'll say, that sounds amazing. How are you going to be able to do that? It's because we're each going to have less than 100 clients each, and you are one of them. They go, wow, that's terrific. And then you simply say, you know, this will be fabulous for you, and it'll be great for us. So let's get started on the financial plan. And they say, well, I don't really want to do the financial plan. And you go, well, you know, our commitment is that each and every client will have a plan. And that's so that it's like you coming to me and saying, I want you to be my doctor, but I don't want an annual physical. How can I take care of you without that physical? I can't. So in reality, if this is, you know, that's your decision, I'll find someone that's going to be a really good fit for you that will do exactly what you want. But our practice is going to be committed to being client-centered, all about you. And, you know, if they say no, great. Then you let them go. Boom. Goodbye. And that's the best way. You know, you can do it with your fee. Say, you know, at this point, you're paying $2,000. Our minimum fee is $10,000, and we don't think that's a good fit for you. Or you can simply tell them what you're doing and why you're doing it and why it makes sense, and that you'd love to have them as a client. But at this point, you're a customer. You're buying products from us, but you're not valuing us as your consultant. It's like you'd be buying your drugs from the doctor, but you don't take his advice on what drugs to take. Right? That would be a good analogy. So everybody's got a few of those people that we really don't have control. And that's not a client. Eventually, what we'd like to see is you have all ambassadors. People that love you and want to refer you. So you start with a certain number of, so what you want to do is make a spreadsheet of all of your clients, and they're either, and see how many are customers. They haven't done a financial plan. They don't take advice. They're not fee-based. And then how many are clients? They have a financial plan. They're fee-based. They listen to you. They like you. They would send you an introduction if you asked. And then advocates are people that all the above, but they also have sent you an introduction in the past. And then ambassadors are ones that have done it in the last 12 months. And I recommend that you do something special for those ambassadors. Because if they send you somebody that meets your minimum, they're putting money in your pocket. So for you to take them to dinner, do an evening cruise, or do something lovely with their spouse is not too much. And people say, well, what about if they gave me an introduction 2 years ago? And I say, well, it's the same as the firm. You know, what you did 2 years ago is terrific, and we really appreciate it. But we have recognition dinners and recognition trips and clubs for people for what they did this year. Okay, so recognize, and that way people will know to give you an introduction every year. Not only an introduction, but one that's qualified so it turns into a client. So there's a big difference between someone that gives you an introduction and one that gives you an introduction that turns into a client. That means they're really well trained and they know what you want and they can give you somebody that's a good fit. They're incredibly valuable to you. So we did that sort of as an alternate to the, you know, you have a pipeline of prospects that are coming in and they go through the pipeline. You also should have this pipeline of clients, customers to client to advocate to ambassador. And just see where everybody is. And then you work all the time on that, moving them from left to right. Does that make sense? Anybody want to do it? Matt, you're getting married. Do you want to do it?
My dance card's already full.
Would Elizabeth want to do it?
I can't say that because I'm on speaker. I don't know. I can't.
So you guys use the PAR program? Kyle, is that what you're with Mary? Mary's on. I see that she got on. Did you use that? Are you on mute?
Or? Yeah, we use the PAR, and then we use the
map.
He's on mute again. We took them through a segmentation exercise where we helped them score their people, Rob, so they could decide which bucket they were sitting in and then have the conversation about who would provide service, whether it was just Kyle or Kyle and Keith, et cetera.
So when I'm looking, like, kind of on the side here, I'm just going through and basically anybody who's on the low, I'm just going through the C clients and I'm highlighting people who don't pay us at all and their assets are under the limit that there's any payout anyways. And I'm just marking those red. I'm marking the ones that are in between, kind of like, not sure yet. I've just marked those yellow. And then some of these are just plugged in wrong based on how the household was listed. Maybe they were not in the right household or they were brand new and it wasn't in the household.
Yep.
Those green, so we can really look at what's really here, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But then it's just a matter of getting the work done. But,
right.
You know, as far as the service model, I think it's effective. We talked about it earlier today. You know, part of the unspoken part about people who are used to calling us all the time is when we don't take calls during their scheduled time, they'll eventually learn that if we can't take their call because we're on a client scheduled call and the person who answers tells them that, then they'll slowly learn more and more not to call us all the time and, you know, write down those questions for later. But it's going to take a while to train everybody, but
right, it does. But it's a training. It is a training issue. When they call, it's a training issue. I always say, look, the rapid response, 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution is not for everything, right? If they email us or text us, but if they call us, that's basically a 911 call or a 411 call. It's an important call. Right? It says, alert, alert. 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. They're calling, it's a problem. And what you do is you train them. Look, this is not a 911 call. Okay. This is about the economic outlook for post election. We'll discuss that on your 1242. I'm putting it down right now as an item, agenda item. We'll discuss it then. But right now, you know, we're going to talk in a week. Let's talk about it then. So it's not like I'm not going to talk to you until after the election. I'm going to talk to you in a week. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about, you know, currency fluctuations or whatever is on your mind. But that's part of our discussion. If it's market related, meaning you need to sell or you want to buy, call. That's no problem. You got an issue. You know, you didn't get a dividend you thought you were entitled to, call. We'll take care of that. But if it's just talking about the economy, we'll save that for our monthly call. Unless you're panicked and then call, that's okay. If you think it's 911, that's a 911 for us. But if everybody calls all the time, we don't have time to do it our job, right? Which is to help make you money and protect your money.
Mary, do you remember the question I asked y'all earlier? I'm blanking on it and we decided I should just ask Rob, but shoot.
Yep. I remember, I think. You wanted to be able to explain to clients when they called you in, why 1242 was going to be really good for them and why they should basically stop calling you, because they were not only helping, not helping themselves, but you were dedicating your time to those structured meetings. And that meant you would be honoring the amount of time when it was their turn to go. I think that was sort of the crux of it, if you guys remember differently.
Yeah, no, that
was
that
it.
It was like the clients who say they don't want 1242, so they agree to 6, but we call them every month anyways, and they don't answer, but we satisfied our commitment. They didn't answer. That's on them. We followed through with what we said we were going to do at the time we said, but then they're just calling in all the time. Like you're really good with the scripts and the wording. What's like a polite way to, instead of you're distracting from other clients and kind of being bothersome, we offered you the 1242 and you didn't want it, so now you're just bugging us. Like, how do you politely spin it that if you're going to keep sucking up all this time, we're trying to give everybody a good experience. So, like, what's a polite way to tell the client, essentially, you're distracting other clients who agreed to be on a schedule because you don't want to be on a schedule. So we offered you this, but you didn't take it, but now you're soaking up other people's time. Or do you
who's answering the phone on that call?
I guess it just depends, but.
But it wouldn't be you or Keith, right?
I mean, if we don't answer, Dean will grab it, yeah. Sometimes if I see it and I know what they're calling about, we'll grab it, you know, but.
Yeah, well, that's training you, okay? You shouldn't answer your own phone. You're in surgery. You don't answer your own phone. Now, if Dean isn't there or somebody, of course you're going to answer the phone. You know, if it's 4 rings or 3 rings, you answer it, but Dean should be grabbing it. Somebody should be grabbing it and saying, you know, basically, what's the emergency? Let me break in here. Is this market related or can I help you with something? So if you set it up, look, the old model was FAs did everything themselves. The new model is FAs are in surgery working and you are not answering phones. You don't make your own appointments. The appointments are set for you. Like, you're a doctor now. You're a CPA. You're an attorney. If you call somebody, it's an emergency. Right? Otherwise, if a doctor calls me, it's an emergency. Right? They call you to tell you have cancer. Okay, that's not the phone call you want. Okay, so you don't call unless it's an emergency. And they don't call you unless it's an emergency. And it's a training issue. Everybody has to get used to that idea that you're supposed to be busy. Okay, you're supposed to be busy. You're supposed to be doing 1242s. You're supposed to be having appointments all the time. You're supposed to have a minimum of 4 client appointments every day plus 2 prospects every day. Okay? You're busy. That's 6 appointments a day. That's a busy schedule. I have 6 appointments a day. 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon. I'm busy. All right? I check my emails at noon and I check my emails after 4 o'clock. Otherwise, I'm busy. If you're doing business with a private wealth team and their minimum is 10 million, you do not expect them to be available every minute of the day. Okay? You expect that they're going to have a structure and you fit into their structure. And it's just a different ballgame. It's not the practice that we started with. You don't get to where you want to go by doing what you did when you got started. You got to prioritize, you got to focus, you got to deliver a better client experience, you got to upgrade everything. in order to do that, the whole team works together. So the team, you know, Dean, somebody on your team manages the client experience from setting the appointments to following up on the appointments to making sure that the client is ready for the appointment, and then making sure that the executive summary gets out and that the agenda gets out. Okay? You guys are responsible for creating the agenda. Your team's responsible for getting it to the client, making sure it's there ahead of time, and then making sure they get an executive summary. People say, you have time for that if you're not answering the phone with people calling about what's the market doing today. I mean, we don't need to do that anymore. They got CNBC. They got their apps. They know exactly what's going on better than you do. So they're not calling in for quotes anymore like they used to. Mary, go ahead.
Hey, so I was going to apologize. I have to run a portfolio manager's call at 3:30, so I have to drop. But I wanted to just read this to you guys really quickly. It's probably a little like feel goody, but I was reading some stuff today, and there's a great Charles Darwin quote that says, it's not the strongest of the species that survives, nor the most intelligent. It's the one that's the most adaptable to change. And I think there's so much truth in that. It's building in flexibility, understanding what you need to do, and then not being afraid to move forward in that process. So, like my deep thoughts by Jack Handy. All right, I apologize, but thank you so much, everybody. Take care.
Bye. Rob, I probably saw it and can't remember where it is, but in terms of executive summaries and the
agendas?
Yeah, I think those are in the practice management guide, kind of like a template, but I can't remember where they're at. Or is that in a separate location?
Well, we tend to put it in the chapter when we discuss it, but it's also in the summary chapter at the end. I think it's chapter 14.
Okay. Because we've done a couple recently for upcoming calls, but, you know, I just do it off just kind of by hand.
Yeah.
But that will get a little bit.
You'll get better. You'll get to, here's the game, okay? The game is we get our agendas from the financial plan. So the financial plan, all the things that we haven't done on the financial plan generates a to-do list. That becomes the agenda. In terms of profiling the client, during the year, we find out things that they need to know about or remember. Those things I recommend go on the agenda. For example, they may need to pay, you know, they've committed $100,000 a year to the university. They need to pay that by the end of June. So you have it on the agenda every month, and you're looking to figure out when Apple is going to be at the right time to give away Apple to the university. So you're thinking so that they don't need to. Now, at the end, if June comes and you haven't given it away, then you give it away then. But that item is on there till the $1 million that they committed is finished, or the $500,000. So you keep that item on the agenda until it's no longer necessary. Okay? So you whatever you guys decide to do strategically, we want to raise.
It's more like a living agenda.
It's a breathing, living agenda.
You get rid of the stuff we're done with, and then you add the new.
Correct.
Versus running it from scratch each week or each month.
And one of the biggest challenges we have is client follow through. You'll follow through, but guess what? The client doesn't, right? So he's got to meet with his estate planning attorney, procrastinates or whatever. He's got to fill out these forms and he hasn't done it, right? So on the agenda is your responsibility, their responsibility, and by when are we going to get it done? So it kind of is like a board meeting that you have. You're the CFO. They're the chief executive officer. It's ultimately their decision, But you're running the financial side of the world for them. And you tell them what they need to do, and it's up to them to make the final decision, but they do it. And then you give them an executive summary of what you both agreed to. So your recommendations go on the first, go on the agenda, and you do it. It's not just it's agenda and recommendations. I'd go ahead and put the recommendations right on the agenda. So let's take, for example, he's busy, right? He's got to run. He's got 10 minutes. You can skip over the rest of the crap reviewing everything and go right to the agenda and say, hey, these are the things we got to get done today. You do them and you're off in 4 minutes. Okay, the next time you got time to go through the whole portfolio and do whatever you want to do. But this time we have 4 minutes. Get off. But you're organized, he's organized, and you're thinking ahead all the time. So you do better. You just do better. You do better, he does better, performance is better, everything is better. But you can't do that if you're answering the phone all day. You literally can't. You can't prospect, you can't do anything. You can't take any initiatives. So all the important but not urgent things just never get done. And what we're doing is all important but not urgent. And that's the difference between building the practice that you really want long term and the practice that you built over time. It was a matter of trial and error. It's a good practice. But at this point, it's time to give you a practice that if you could do it from scratch and build it the way you wanted to, this is the practice. It's the ideal practice. Okay. So the agenda is not, you know, it's not like, oh my God, this is the only agenda. Like people ask me for the 24-month calendar of things to talk about every month to go on the agenda. Well, that's going to be kind of up to you guys. I'll give you the agenda, right? My agenda, what I think what you should cover, but you don't need to do that. You can have your own agenda. But sometimes it's good to go by a template and just see what other people have done. So basically, one of the other things is the 24-month calendar. And that is a brilliant idea in terms of getting things done. So you've got all these agenda items on their to-do list, but you can't get to them all. But if you batch process them over a 2-month period, you can get to the things that you may have not been able, let's say long-term care. Long-term care is in a transition, right? There's lots going on in that area. People should know about it, but are you ready to talk about it? So you need to take time the month before you're going to talk about it to train yourself on that subject. So you get in touch with the wholesalers, the specialists, and other people that train you on what is happening in that area, and then you can present in a comprehensive way, what's the future of long-term care and what should be, how does it apply to your clients? Maybe it doesn't, but at least they would know about it and they wouldn't buy it from somebody else. Same thing with liability management, mortgages, securitized loans, all those things. Risk management, insurance on other things in long-term care, you know. Life insurance and other things. What's happening in those areas? So you got lots of interesting topics to talk about, but if your client has 4 minutes, you do the action items and they go, right? And you pick it up the next month. Or you skip it and go to the next year. But you'll do more business because, you know, we always did more business when we focused on anything. This month we've got a terrific municipal bond. That's the way we used to do it in the old days. Great municipal bond, right? 6% municipal bond, call everybody. We make a list and call everybody in our book. And we did a lot of municipal bonds. Well, it's the same kind of thing. You'll do a lot of mortgages. You'll do a lot of securitized loans. You'll do a lot of other things. And all of those make the client stickier and make them value you more as their counselor, as their consultant. So this month, you know, because of where you guys are, we didn't cover the topics or the topic, which was acquisition, asking for and getting more referrals. But I refer you to, if you want to learn about that, we can go over it next month. Or if you want to say, hey, just tell me where it is and what to do. It's chapter 10. It's the VIPSA process. It's Bill Cates, Get More Referrals Now. And it's in chapter, in the Supernova Multiplier. If you have that book, have it on audio, you can listen to us talk about how to get introductions from existing clients, how to turn advocates into ambassadors. And it's a very valuable, it's an important part of your practice. There's nobody that's more important to getting and growing your practice than your existing clients. Centers of influence are important, but many times they're clients anyway. But this is the number one way to get introductions, is from your existing clients. And this process gives you a smooth way to ask for and get more introductions. So,
yeah, Matt actually sent me the Bill Cates book. He already had a copy, so he sent me that one as well. And I was on that. I saw y'all's conference last week as well. So I kind of got a heads up into that. I actually forwarded it to a couple of buddies at the office.
Well, it was interesting because I had a client. I'll tell you the story of how you build your network and build your centers of influence. So just in my practice, right? So Bill is, some people would think of Bill Cates as a competitor, right? Because he's a coach. Well, I don't think of him that way. I think of him as a resource and as a center of influence for me. So how do I get him to be a better center of influence for me and refer more business to me? I gave him two introductions, clients that I was working with who really wanted to learn the process, but in one session like this, a half an hour, 45 minutes, we didn't have time to teach his whole process. So I introduced him to two different people, and both people hired him. And he sent me, so I did it with two Zoom introductions. So I got the prospect on the phone, on the Zoom, and Bill Cates, who made a Zoom appointment. I introduced them, and then I got off and they talked, and it ended up Bill was able to close the business. Well, he thanked me. He sent me, and I share this with you because it was so cool. He sent me a box, and inside the box was, he knows that I play golf and that I went to Wake Forest University. So he sent, and I'm a supporter of the golf team, right? So he sends me a Wake Forest towel, Wake Forest ball marks, Wake Forest hat for my granddaughter, who I play golf with almost every day. And it was amazing. I opened it up and I said, I'm saving this for my granddaughter. And my granddaughter came in. There it was, and she just went wild. It was like Christmas. So it's not just a thank you. In it, of course, is a note thanking me for the introduction. But it was personalized for me based on what I like to do and where I went to school. So think about that as a way, I mean, how, what a difference that is than sending me a bottle of wine or something. Yeah, it'd be nice, and I would appreciate it. But this was enough that I'm telling you about it, right? That's how big an impact it made on me. And there's, frankly, at my stage, I can buy whatever I want. Okay. I don't need anything, but this was really sweet and personal. So then I called him back and I said, we got to do more things together. And so we did that Zoom call and we had 300 people on there and I probably got 4 accounts because of that. So think about that, right? Who can you do a Zoom call with that's an advocate of yours and you're an advocate of theirs that you could introduce them, but there's a way of giving you both publicity. He used his email list. I used my email list. People will hire him. People will hire me, but we're now networking and helping each other grow our practices, right? And I've, you know, from your point of view, I've vetted him for, you know, I met him in 1984, I think. and started doing business with him then. I've done business with him ever since. So he's vetted. He's good at what he does. You don't need to search for another referral coach. Okay, so that's a good example of what you guys could be doing, getting the chief economist for Touchstone on the phone, on a conference call, on a Zoom call with your clients, telling them about the outlook for the election and what's that going to mean to them and whatever, whatever. But you're going to get all your clients on there, and you're making one more important thing, plus bring a friend, right? Bring a friend on the Zoom call. So you do a, in Zoom, you know, you can do a webinar on Zoom so that just you and the, you know, the Touchstone guy is on there. And you don't see the clients, but then you got all their emails and you know exactly where they all came from and everything about them. And then, so you got a nice prospect list now. Nice thing to follow up on, right? So I share that with you because people say, well, you can't prospect in the Zoom world, you know, in the COVID world. I disagree completely. I think it's a goldmine.
I find it easier to attend meetings. I don't know as much about hosting it, but it's, if you gotta wipe your nose or your kid needs something, you just blank the video out and keep listening.
Right. Yeah, it's very convenient. It's very convenient.
Or you choke on your Mountain Dew, you just turn the video off.
Right. I had my cereal this morning. I turned the video off. All right, guys. Hey, great talking with you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob.
Do you have a second for a quick call? Or can I call you right after this?
I would love you to.
Quick question for you.
Let me just see.
It'll take 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to talk to you because I got something else I've been meaning to talk to you about. I think I'm good. I think this is it for me today. Yep, I'm good. You have my number?
Okay. You better give it to me. I've got a bunch of numbers for you guys. So
yeah, 317-418-8624. That's my cell. 317-418-8624.
Okay. Calling you shortly. Thank you.
Thank you,
bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.